Howdy, everyone, and thanks for tuning in today to the AgriLife Podcast. I'm your host, Kevin DeLu. Now, if you happen to listen to my previous episodes, yes, I did change the name. I finally came up with a better one. I've been in the works of starting this podcast or like a YouTube channel for over the past year, and I finally just took the plunge and just started recording something and kept going from there. You might hear some noise in the background. It's some much-needed rain. Over 3 inches today already, actually. First off, I want to thank everyone who's listened to my first 3 episodes and all the positive feedback. It's much appreciated. For today's episode, I'll be going over some of my thoughts and concerns that I have regarding the show cattle industry when it comes to the junior and open shows and how it relates to the beef industry as a whole, through my experience raising and showing Brahmins, and my current understanding outside of them. For those who are first-time listeners, I'm a first-generation Brazilian-American cattle rancher from Texas, and I like to talk about the farming and ranching lifestyle, issues regarding the beef industry, and my experience or concerns with what I see going on, day in, day out. I'm trying to use this podcast as an opportunity not only for me to share my thoughts on topics, but for the both of us to learn together as well. When it comes to cattle ranching, I don't think you can ever stop learning, considering how many different ways there are to do what we do. And I hope y'all take into consideration what I have to say. As we're going through, if you hear something that you have a different viewpoint on, feel free to shoot me an email, message me on social media, or join my Reddit page that I made where you can post links to articles. You can make a post on whatever you like. And guess what? Without being censored by Facebook. Which, all the links can be seen at my website, www.agrilifeproductions.com. Make sure to follow me on TikTok also, where I try to make daily posts. So with all that out of the way, let's hop right on to it. Before I start, I want to preface this by saying I do love showing cattle. And I love what it does for our youth. I don't have a problem with it being a means of marketing for seed stock operations. I think my issues stem mainly from operations that breed only for winning in the show ring. And in the junior side, I think the issues stem more from the adults. Here recently at the Houston Stock Show, the Grand Champion steer sold for over $1 million, which made it the highest selling steer at the show. Every year, the same topic gets brought up on what the money goes to exactly. Being social media, though, lots of people like to give their takes on it, and of course, without thinking things through for just a minute, or put in the same time for a Google search. And frankly, every year, the same tiring rhetoric gets pushed out about those winnings. Now, I, just like everyone else, don't have any special knowledge or insight into whether or not all those funds go to where they say they go to. However, we can only go off of the information we have available. So, I'm not going to be going off on some conspiracy tangent that the higher-ups are taking the money or something like that I've heard. For those that are unaware, there is a cap to those champion auction prices, and majority of the money goes to help with the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo scholarships and fundings. This year, the Grand Champion steer had $85,000 go to the showman, and $45,000 went to the reserve champion. I'm going to quote from agdaily.com, quote, "Based upon placing, the rodeo establishes a guaranteed minimum payment for each exhibitor who qualifies for a junior market auction. The rodeo also sets a cap amount above the guaranteed minimum for each auction lot. When bidding exceeds the cap amount, the additional funds go into the rodeo's educational fund to be used for scholarship and grant recipients." End quote. Now, recently, well, like maybe a day or two after the steers had sold, I posted a rant to TikTok. I was calling out the people who get so upset about where the money goes, and that went down a path I did not imagine happening. I learned a lot from doing that. I learned about how many people are at least on the same page with me, you know, complete understanding and thankful for what that money goes to. Some, though, probably the more vocal ones, were disappointing, to say the least. Now, I'm not going to go back through word for word what I'd said or what they said. The gist of my points were these. The buyers paying that much money are paying that much money for the scholarships of all the kids, not for the steer and the one showman. Go earn $1 million that you can spend on a steer, and then you can complain. Besides, it was the show record. No one was expecting that price tag, or to even go home with $85,000. Regardless of who the money goes to, if you think it's some quote-unquote inner-city kid, the money's going to help a kid, first and foremost. If that kid has a life outside of agriculture, they now have a reason to have some kind of respect for our industry. They're getting help to make something of their lives. Whoever receives these scholarships isn't some bum sitting on the couch playing Xbox all day. It's a person who has put in the effort and work to not only fill out the application, but to have made good enough grades, done good enough in their extracurricular activities at school, and at least stayed out of trouble. The scholarships go to help someone who is putting in the effort to make something of their lives. And I don't care if you don't like people from the city for whatever reason, it's disrespectful and embarrassing to have people in the ag community be condescending, uncaring, and downright obnoxious over the lives of others in this world that you share with. We as agriculturalists, farmers, ranchers, are making this country and world go round and round. Without us, our society will not thrive. Now, that doesn't mean you have some higher authority over how others lead their lives. It means you have a responsibility in how you conduct yourself and treat the people around you with love and respect. You can't claim to help feed and clothe the world while not having loving compassion for the people who make your life easier as well. We all live in this society together with different temperaments, talents, and convictions, and a lot of us need to grow up and accept that other people aren't like you, and they have their own lives to attend to, and ain't nothing you're gonna do to change that. I don't know about y'all, but just because someone has a different political or religious affiliation or some kind of mental difficulty, that doesn't mean I want to see them starve and suffer. I want to see them be happy and eat, just not at my table. You know, all this brought up some ideas for me, at least, that made me feel as if the show world isn't being as practical or helpful as it should be to our youth, and to the beef industry going forward. Showing has been a means of an opportunity for juniors to have a learning experience, like with cattle handling, nutrition, breeding, the whole nine yards when it comes to cattle production. As it also teaches the kids about finances and life lessons in winning and losing. I don't see, for lack of a better term, practicality and saying that it's for scholarships. A lot of the comments, some which actually referenced links to show steer sales, showed that a lot of these champion steers initially sell for tens of thousands of dollars to the juniors. Some 20, 30, 50, I even heard of ones being sold for $100,000. I mean, my own experience when I was a junior showing breeding Brahmins, there was one place that every show heifer available for me to choose from was over $20,000. Hell, another place, the breeder, you know, quote unquote, jokingly told my parents that when they picked a heifer out in the pasture, he goes, "You don't have the money to buy that heifer." Do I need to remind everyone that a college degree can cost $20,000? I'm sorry, but if mommy and daddy have the money to buy their kids the Grand Champion, they have the money to send their kid to college. And they're only taking away scholarship opportunities from kids and families who really do need help with the money to send their kid for a better education, to have a good and fulfilling life. You'll see people complain, "Oh, well, that scholarship for those inner city kids, it's just a handout." A scholarship, regardless of who it goes to, by definition, is a handout. A handout to someone who put in the work and effort to be qualified to earn that $20,000. No, the real handout they're getting at is the parents buying their kid their blue ribbons. That's the real participation trophy. It's a learning experience for the champions, and it's a scholarship opportunity for those who won't win it. That's just the money spent on the calf, too. It's not counting the diesel spent hauling, not the hotel room rates, not the $20 to $30 bags of feed, and not the hundreds spent on supplements, beauty pageant spray paints, and hair products. If you really want to see a chance at an even playing field, I'd like to see a cap on price tags for market animals that can't exceed the scholarship opportunity. Because even at Houston, $85,000 winnings for a steer isn't representative of the real world, where the steers that are bred commercially for slaughter to feed the country, like that winning steer is supposed to represent, aren't bringing jack squat comparable to what they should be for the people who raise them. You don't have a show industry without the commercial industry. And if you think you're not involved in the grand scheme of it all, you're not teaching our juniors what's really going on, and you're not helping alleviate any of the issues your fellow cattlemen are experiencing. So in my opinion, and I might ruffle some feathers with these points, I think show cattle need to be bred first for production, and especially for their environment. Because like I said, without at least the commercial side of it, you wouldn't have a reason for show cattle, let alone seed stock. And I say this because it's easy to cover faults and poor quality, which for one isn't teaching the youth about proper cattle conformation, and it only teaches them to get through life cheating. And if you don't think so, I'm sorry, but you're not in this for the beef industry. You're in a beauty pageant industry. At the end of the day, you have to have a female that can get bred and perform in the pasture. That means no issues calving and not having little dink calves. It means raising that calf while being able to maintain her body condition, wean that calf off heavy, and get bred back to calve again the same time the next year. For one, you can't know that for sure if that female and her calf are up in the barn on show feed. The show life is only up to 3 years old, and then they're done. Then they have to hopefully have another 10 years of production capabilities out of them. Like I'd mentioned about environment, that's where it becomes a concern, because the show ring is a nationwide environment using animals that have to be produced accordingly to where they'll survive. Conformation-wise, you know, they need to have good feet and leg structure. An animal has to walk with no genetic issues. Stop giving excuses that it's because they're on so much feed. There should be no reason whatsoever that I see show cattle joint and ligament supplements. We're not riding these heifers in a reining pattern or racing them in a quarter mile. That either means you're faulting on their nutrition or breeding conformation. I had a cow that I had to get a rear toe amputated because of an infection. She was up in the stall for months, pregnant, calved out, and she nursed that calf just fine. Guess what? For 3 years, I never touched her feet because they never went bad while she was crippled and always limping because she was missing a toe. And we have sandy loam. Another issue is that, to me, this doesn't really teach juniors about feed efficiency when it's always about, you know, pouring the feed to them. All those cattle in the feedlots aren't getting Purina show feed supplements also to get them all nice and chunky. I think this will be a good chance for me to get some things off my chest over what I've experienced when I was a junior showing Brahmas. When I talk about Brahmas also, I'm more specifically speaking about gray Brahmins, not red Brahmins, even though they'll have some issues as well. I've made several TikToks now speaking about these issues. I've complained before on Facebook where Brahmin producers galore saw my thoughts and some were personally offended. Even though I don't raise them anymore, I'll criticize this until I see the change I've always wanted to see and witness the opportunities become a reality that were never available to me. The Brahmin breed has always been revolved around the show ring. And I'm going to say this timeline generously. It's been dominated for at least the last 30 years by the show ring and who wins. Because of the business practices of a few breeders, genetics have been centered around certain bloodlines without much of a way to expand. Foreign only and overpriced semen sales on bulls have ruined so much potential the Brahmin breed had to grow over the last 20 to 30 years that I'm scared too much time has been lost. Brahmins have had so much potential to become one of the country's leading breeds of cattle. The lack of genetic diversity has caused setbacks. After starting raising Angus cattle, I see it more. It's 2022. Brahmins should have many yearly production sales by their operations like the Angus does. Polled Brahmins should be so much more prevalent. Dehorning is just such a stressful time for calves, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it's a docking factor at the sale barn. Semen sales shouldn't be $100 to $250 a unit with a 10-unit minimum and 5 free AI certificates. They need to be $20 to $40 a unit regularly. They shouldn't be $500. They shouldn't be $1,000, $2,000. $5,000, $10,000, or $25,000 a unit for bulls that are still alive and not even old enough to have daughters in production. All this does is create inconsistencies in production. By only allowing embryo transfer as the only way for a bull to have progeny, right off the bat, half of the calf genetically is going to be good because, you know, not everyone, is going to flush a crap cow. Sell that semen cheap and breed him AI to 100 commercial cows and let's see how his consistency holds up. I'll put it like this. It's easier to raise an ugly Brahmin than it is a good one. We shouldn't be seeing the max registrations of calves by a sire reaching only 200 to 300 a year. They should be in the thousands like every other breed. The most registrations sired by a Brahmin bull isn't even a Brahmin, and he has around 2,000 to 3,000 calves. From the 60s or 70s. We should be seeing that yearly. All of this thanks to operations that can't have competitive forces against them in the show ring. We should be seeing multitudes of operations competing for carcass quality. We should have operations and bloodlines across the board that are known for specific traits like maternal abilities or carcass quality. How is it that the first registered American breed, the American Brahmin, has a better looking national cow herd in every other country other than the United States? Why is it always America first, but not American Brahmin breeders? The pool of money spent on Brahmins should be staying domestically. But we have to see hundreds of thousands of dollars being lost to foreign countries to merely import the animals with American genetics back to the U.S. just so producers here have an opportunity to raise a champion in the show ring, which is the only real viable way of marketing top seed stock Brahmin genetics. Like, I'm from Brazil. I showed at the 2010 World Brahmin Congress and won third highest ranked senior female. That was a full sister to the grand champion. And they've been allowed to use every good quality champion producing American Brahmin bull available that Americans don't have access to. The cattle there on average are 100% better. Just like in Central America and Australia too. Hell, just look at how many American composite breeds here in the U.S. do better than Brahmas. I got excuses before that. Oh, well, if we just allow the semen sales here, it'll ruin the Brahmin business. But ignore the fact that every other country is able to do just that without ruining their own business. All they have is the best genetics. Like, I know there are Brahmin bulls available here with semen that are, you know, relatively cheap. But here's the thing. Why are they cheap? Is it because the producer is honest and understands what the price should be? Or is the bull just not worth a damn? You'll see bulls advertised as the full brother to so-and-so bull that won everything. And his semen isn't available. But why is that? Is the good bull that won everything capable of even producing semen? Or is the full brother to him just not in good on any comparable measure in that he won't produce anything to cause any real competition? You know, if you raise Angus, just take SAV Resource, Renown, and Recharge as examples of the differences full brothers can make. And I'm not saying they're bad at all. I love all those bulls. It's just an example. Now, you can go and try to buy a good bull for sure, but you're more than likely not going to be allowed to sell semen domestically. And if you sell it foreignly, they'll have to approve of what countries that you can sell to. I know, because we did it. And I don't want to hear the excuses anymore that Brahmins are inherently poor in fertility, maternal, and carcass abilities. Just because your cow can produce 30 embryos means nothing if she can't get pregnant anymore. The opportunity was always there in all those areas, and it was blown. Advances could have been made in marbling, calving ease, feet quality, leg structure, consistency in hump placement and top line, breed character, scrotal size, leg structure. The Brahmins have so many post-legged and dog-legged animals. Calf vigor, which is a big one. More pole genetics and docility, for one. You know, it, and I'm not saying that there's not operations like that available, but like what? One, two, three? You know, thankfully, there are some operations picking up and mending the broken pieces, and at least furthering education now on these issues, especially with the pole genetics and carcass. You know, if you're listening, you know who you are, and I thank you. The biggest takeaway I hope everyone understands in this episode and the others is that the beef industry is at a tipping point where we have to do some real self-reflections of what we need to do going forward. We've gotten real comfortable with just raising what we want, when we want, and at a cheaper input prices. Life isn't cheap anymore. Droughts are getting hotter, more prevalent. Our population is growing rapidly. And our social issues revolved around what we eat is becoming a bigger topic of discussion, and at many times the subject of scapegoating and unreasonable attacks. And I don't expect it to ever get back to the way things were. I hope I'm wrong, but I don't think I am. I think it's better to always maintain the base herd of cattle, of what survives and produces at the end of the day, without all the bells and whistles. Let's think of it like this. In a world now dominated and revolved around technology, imagine if a solar flare hit the Earth or a terrorist attack knocked out the entire national power grid. Would you be happier that you maintained a cow herd that can do the job without you? Or the one that won you all the shows or had all the best EPDs? Who would come out on top if everything was to be restored? I appreciate you all for being with me today. Please keep all of the farmers and ranchers around this country in your thoughts, prayers, and assistance where you can in these droughts and calf-killing storms. Especially the farmers in Ukraine having to go out in the field with vests on and having to take cover from missile strikes. I wish you all good weather and crops, and I hope you'll join me next time. Take care.